Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered, entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Treliving has silenced the critics. He locks up Huberto long-term, and now signs Kadri? Unreal. Good evening and welcome to a summer edition of Flames Unfiltered as we sit here on August 24th in the heart of the summer and heart of the off season. An off season that hasn't really been an off season if you're a Calgary Flames fan. And we're talking Flames hockey. I'm the host of the show, Brad Berube, and this is Flames Unfiltered. Hopefully you've seen the show before. If you haven't, you know, welcome. This is something we do every week during the regular season, every other week for the most part, during the off season. And, yeah, we talk Flames hockey and, have a good time, talking about what's happened and, maybe throwing out some opinions and some projections on what will happen. And this has been one hell of an off season. I don't even know how to describe it. If you've seen my last three shows, I've said the same thing every single time. It's been giant news with Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Huberto signs. And now we signed Nazem Kadri. And it's crazy. Usually in the summer, I fight to find talking points for the show. This year, I've actually thought we should be doing the show every single week. But reality is that I'm revamping the whole show for late September, launch of season 4. And I'm working on all of those type of ins and outs, and I'm still running some Flames Unfiltered shorts so that you can stay up to date. That's a good way to stay up to date with the show and in between shows. I don't know. It's just been a busy summer, and it's been exciting. I'm sure as hell happy that it's been exciting if you're a Flames fan because I don't know. Did we expect this? No. And it was doom and gloom in Calgary when Gaudreau, and now it's, I'm super pumped. I am super, super pumped. It's September here in a couple days. Marking the end of the summer, the kids went back to school today. And, so that helps me do a lot with the show. Let me tell you that, at nights that's when I get my stuff done. And, it means the start of hockey's coming close. The junior hockey team in town, is camp opened and I'm watching that. And, you know, it's starting to, you feel like hockey. And, you know, I got my hockey news fantasy guide in the mail. I'm still waiting for my yearbook, but I got my fantasy guide and that's a hell of a good sign that hockey is just right around the corner. And we're going to talk about some of, the fantasy projections as we move closer to the start of the season. And I always kind of touch base with what the yearbook and the fantasy guide says about our Calgary Flames. And you know, it's my favorite day of the year in the mail. Usually we're getting bills and things like that. And boy, is it nice when you get, you know, your hockey news magazine. And it's only really publication for the NHL that's in the hard copy. And I don't know, you can call me old school or whatever, but I like sitting there and paging through the hard copy of it. So I don't know, call me old school. On this episode, we're going to talk about Nazem Kadri signing in Calgary. Sean Monahan, one of the longtime Flames, traded to Montreal to free up some cap space, and then other contracts that were signed since our last episode. Huberto, Mangiapane, Shillington. Give you my take on all three of those. And what will the roster look like this year for the Flames? Are they done? And are the Flames going to be better, worse, or the same next year? And that's all it's done. We'll go into some Flames news, talk a little bit more about Huberto, the Wranglers, the East Coast Hockey League, a PTO signing. And then we'll dive into end the show with a listener question about the Flames captaincy. And I got an interesting take on that one, and I want to share that with you. And then we'll wrap up with a discussion over prospects, camps, and preseason games. And then we'll preview season 4 at Flames Unfiltered. I can't believe we're getting ready for our fourth season of this show. Time has gone so fast, but I've sure enjoyed all three seasons as we end the third season, right here, right now. And, yeah, let's get this thing going. All right, Flames fans, lots to talk about tonight. And usually we keep the off-season episodes to that 30-minute mark, and we'll see where we land tonight here. But lots to talk about. More than I ever anticipated, but yeah, that's good, huh? Well, it happened again last week. It's like old news now. Brad Treliving shocks the hockey world again, as I predicted so heavily, and I got proven wrong. I thought Nazem Kadri was going to the New York Islanders. I had it penciled in. Like, I thought he was just contract signed in lieu of Lamoriello, desk drawer, waiting like a la Zach Parise. And it didn't happen that way. As we, what day was it last week? Thursday? Wednesday? All of a sudden it's announced Nazem Kadri signs a 7-year deal, $7 million AAV, $49 million contract with the Calgary Flames. And my instant thought was, I used to hate Nazem Kadri, but damn, I'm happy he's on the team now. Because Nazem Kadri stirs the pot. He hits hard. He works hard. And he's going to add so much center depth to this team that a lot of people in the hockey world are going to look down the middle of the Calgary Flames this preseason and go, they're in the top five for center core groups. That's a hell of a signing. And you know, we talked about how Huberdeau fills the Gaudreau loss. To me, in a weird way, Kadri fills the Tkachuk loss. And then you throw Uyghur into the mix on the back end as an upgrade to Gabranson. I don't know. On paper, we look better. Will the results be better? I don't know. I hope so. I guess I don't really care in the regular season as long as we make the playoffs. But I really hope that going into the postseason, we're healthy, strong, and clicking on all cylinders. Because I like this group. I love this core. And this is a core that's completely different than what we're used to in Calgary. How will Nazem Kadri fit in? I think he'll be outstanding if he plays with Mangiapane. I think he's a huge asset going into what we think will probably be, I don't know, an even more amped up Battle of Alberta next year. Don't you guys think? It's, you know, we got shit kicked. And I think the Battle of Alberta will just be amped up even more. And then you got Kadri and Kane going at it. And oh, man, this could be better than Tkachuk Kassian. Right? Why do I feel like Kadri is going to take Kane off his game? I just do. Nazem Kadri last year, 87 points, 71 games. Yeah, and what an integral part of that Avalanche team that went on to win a Stanley Cup. Kadri knows what it takes. He was an integral part of them winning the Stanley Cup. The former first rounder, seventh overall pick of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who was scorned and scoured for the way he acted in Montreal and how he hurt his team. And I agree, he did hurt his team. How do you not agree? But he was probably, I think he was like 25 at the time. And I think all of us can look in the mirror and be like, I don't know, I made some stupid decisions at 25, didn't you? And I've matured, and not that I don't make stupid decisions still to this day, but they're sure few and far between compared to my 25-year-old brain. And I think that's what we can expect from Nazem Kadri. I think we can expect a much more mature, solid, well-rounded hockey player. That mature, solid, well-rounded hockey player we watched play for the Colorado Avalanche last year and hoist Lord Stanley. Other news that day was the fact that Sean Monahan, longtime Calgary Flame, a Calgary Flame that's played 650-plus games for the team, has scored more than 20 goals in his first seven NHL seasons, will always be remembered to have a 1-2 punch with Gaudreau as one of the most prolific in franchise history. Sean Monahan's shot in the slot at his peak when he wasn't injured was unreal. Kind of reminds me of the way Lindholm snaps at home now from the dot. He holds the franchise record for the most overtime winners. He's ninth in team history for games played. He's eighth in team's history for goals. He's third in the franchise in game-winning goals. Number one, like I mentioned, in overtime winners. And you know what Sean Monahan did the most? Is when Calgary lost Jerome Iginla, Sean Monahan is the guy we turned our attention to as the next true Calgary Flame leader. And I know a lot of you can probably argue with me on this one. I thought he held up his end of the bargain. And no, I know his last 2 years were disastrous in Calgary. But it was because of severe injuries that, I mean, this guy was a warrior, battled through so much injuries. His hips were garbage. Other players on the team described it as just magnificent that he could even play through it and work through it at all. I got a lot of respect for Sean Monahan. You know what? Sean Monahan never bitched. Never complained. Was delegated to a fourth line role last year. And never, did you ever hear Sean Monahan bitch? Did you ever hear Sean Monahan run from criticism? I didn't. He meant it head on and spoke honestly. He's probably one of the most soft-spoken players in franchise history. He's extremely quiet. And he handled it like a true professional. I feel bad for Sean Monahan. He's went through a lot of injuries. And you never heard a negative word out of his mouth other than, I'm going to do the best I can. And that's really all you can ask for a player, right? And I hope Sean Monahan has a hell of a healthy comeback in Montreal. And the trade was this. Montreal received Sean Monahan and a 2025 conditional first-round pick. Yes, the one we got is part of the Huberdeau trade. And the Flames received future considerations, which I don't know what that means. It means nothing. But it clears $6-plus million from the cap. And that allowed us to make the Kadri signing work. Now, I really hope that when Sean Monahan comes back to Calgary this year, he gets a giant, giant standing ovation. He's truly an all-around good guy that laid his heart on the line for this franchise. And I really hope that that everybody just truly, cheers for him. Sad to see him go, but in a way, I'm happy because we needed to clear that cap space, and this team was held down by contracts such as his. And I know some people will disagree with me, but Lucic is. We'll see what happens there. I don't know if that one's dead in the water either. Sean Monahan, one of my all-time favorite Flames. I have an autographed jersey hanging behind me. He's going to be missed, and I wish him well in Montreal. Other contracts. Now, some more positive things to talk about. So, Brad Treliving takes Jonathan Huberdeau out in Montreal for a get-to-know dinner. And then just a week later, it's announced that Jonathan Huberdeau has signed an 8-year, $10.5 million contract with the Calgary Flames. Locking up and making that trade look like a big win for the Flames. And we locked up a player that year in and year out proves to be a top, arguably top 10 player in the National Hockey League. I am over the moon excited to have Jonathan Huberdeau as a Flame long term. I don't understand. All right, I know some people say, well, it's a little bit too much money for 8 years. Come on, guys. Namie, with the exception of Ovechkin's contract and probably Crosby's, tell me a player that in year 6, 7, and 8, you weren't like, that's a little bit high. But you're not going to get him signed unless you give him that money. And I thought it was fair. If anything, maybe $500,000 more than what it should have been. And you know what? If that's what it took to get him to Calgary, damn it, Brad Treliving did the right thing and gave it to him. This guy is, look at it this way. Who would you rather have on your team for the next 8 years? Huberdeau at 10.5 or Tkachuk at 9.5? And I know a lot of people will say, well, Tkachuk is 24 years old and Huberdeau is 29. Yeah, I get it. I'm not arguing that. But I think there's more upside to Jonathan Huberdeau than there is Matthew Tkachuk. And a lot of people will say, well, you're crazy. But I can throw out a few things. Last year was Tkachuk's blip in the radar for points. Don't forget that. And second of all, what did we get from Tkachuk in the postseason this year? Yeah, a hat trick in game one of the Oilers, a game we scored, 8, 9 goals as a team? I don't know. And then, quite honestly, all else he did in the whole playoffs was fight Klingberg, and that pretty much took him off his game and actually injured him. So I don't really know where people can say we're losing a big playoff performer in Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah, he was a shit disturber, and I like that. But sometimes I almost felt like it took him off his game when it got to the overwhelming extent, I guess is probably the best way to put it. I don't know. I hope I don't get proved wrong on this one, because if I had to pick between the two to sign, I'm picking Huberdeau. And for us to get a return like we got is mind-boggling to me. I still remember drinking my beer late at night on a Friday night out with my wife, with 18,000 people at a Night Ranger concert, having a blast and having poor internet access and seeing it kind of come through my phone, and I'm seeing what's going on and I'm like, this has got to be fake. It wasn't. And I couldn't be more happier. Couple more contracts that did get wrapped up here since we last talked. Andrew Mangiapane, 3 years, $5.8 million. I thought that was fair, maybe a little high. I don't know. God, his trajectory is right on pace. And I think this is going to be a good signing. And Oliver Shillington, 2 years, $2.5 million. And that was a prove-it contract that he was on, and he proved it to an extent. Now prove it some more and you're probably going to get that extended long term at double that price tag. We'll see. The roster's coming together. These are some really, really big signings in Calgary. And I don't know. Has most of the Calgary fan base ecstatic and super excited for next season? All right, let's talk a little bit about how these rosters are going to come together and where we're at. And I'll talk to you a little bit about where I would place the lines right now. It's going to really be interesting to see how it plays out in the preseason. But as it stands right now, what I would do is the first line, I would have Lindholm centering Huberdeau on the left, and I would put Toffoli on the right because I think Toffoli is probably our most pure scorer. The problem there is after that, really the first 2 weeks that Toffoli was with the Flames, he tailed off and tailed off miserably. Had a really good game 7 against Dallas, but for the most part, really was a non-factor down the stretch and looked wore out, tired. And I thought we would hear of an injury problem at the end of the year, but we heard nothing. And that's what scares me probably the most with Toffoli. But I think what we need to do is put him in a situation to succeed. And oftentimes last year, he would get pigeonholed with slower players like Monahan, Lucic, and stuff like that. And I don't think that that helps, because Toffoli is not the most fleet of foot, and he needs to be put into scoring situations. I think Lindholm and Huberto match up really well with Toffoli, and I like that as a first line. I would slot Nazem Kadri centering the second line, kind of in a 1A, 1B, or 2A, 1B center, I guess this would be the term to put it. And I would have him flanked with Andrew Mangiapane, that guy that's going to get into the corner, make things happen, and can finish. Also, and then Blake Coleman on the other side. Blake Coleman is a guy that that can really do anything. Really do anything. And can play that third line role, or it could step up into that second line and help with some offensive production. But this is a line that having Blake Coleman on that line is going to really add to the shutdown ability. And I'm interested to see how that one works. Now the fourth line, we'll skip ahead here to the fourth line. I like Kevin Rooney centering Trevor Lewis, Milan Lucic. Love that fourth line. Think it's perfect. I absolutely think it's perfect. I think it's probably in the best interest, to sub somebody in once in a while, probably Ben Jones, in for Lucic once in a while, just to respite him so that he doesn't get wore out. Cause I thought, like Toffoli, come postseason, Milan Lucic looks a little wore out. And I don't know that I can blame him. He's not the youngest guy, and he lumbers out there. And I think that's one thing that really I hope gets addressed. Is that, you know, he's a big salary and we need him, and we need him to be productive, but his goal total just absolutely disappeared as the season went on. But we need to make sure that he's not, overworked. And I think by subbing him in on the fourth line and having him play in like 2 out of 3 games, probably makes the most sense. Now that third line, this one's a little bit more foggy on where we go. I think I like, well, obviously Michael Backlund centering it. I thought about having Coleman on this line, but I think we need Coleman's size with Kadri and Mangiapane. I like that a little bit better. Dylan Dubé probably on the right side of this line, and I see a lot of people penciling Jacob Peltier in. I'm not saying that that's shouldn't happen. I'm just saying that's kind of a big ask, for a guy that hasn't played a National Hockey League game to get thrown into a role such as that. Now, so where do we go with that then? If it's not him, who is it? And that's where I think the Flames probably need to add another player. The player I had in mind was Paul Stastny. He was my number one free agent target, and he got nixed as he signs with Carolina for $1.5 million for 1 year. Man, I thought I would have given him 2 even. I would have loved having him on that left-hand side of the third line. I think that would have been dynamite, and unfortunately that's not going to happen. Another great feature with having Paul Stastny would have been his centering ability. He could have slotted right in a pinch there too, and unfortunately that's not going to happen as he was signed by the Carolina Hurricanes. So who's left to fill that spot in on that left-hand side? Well, there's Phil Kessel. He's 34. Now, I really would not be thrilled to do that. Do I think he can still put up points? Yeah. You know what keeps flashing into my mind when I think Phil Kessel? You guys remember 2 years ago, the shootout game against Arizona, and Phil Kessel got stuck out there, and he had he was hunched over during the middle of play as Calgary scored the game winner in overtime. And he was so freaking happy that Calgary scored so he could truck his fat ass off the ice that it kind of made me sick to my stomach. And since that, it's like, yeah, I know the old man can put up some points once in a while. I don't want to go down that problem. I don't want to go down that You guys, we did that with Jaromir Jagr. I'm sorry. Please don't do it with Phil Kessel. Please, please don't do it with Phil Kessel. Some better options. I like the option of Tyler Mott, a 27-year-old, works his ass off. And I really think that would be my number one choice. Probably my number two would be the 28-year-old Evan Rodriguez. He can play center too. I like that aspect. Those are my top two that are still left. Sonny Milano, 26 years old, still available. And then some maybe long shots. Sam Steele, 24 years old. I think that would have to be a two-way deal. I don't know if I feel confident in having him on a solid NHL contract, because I don't know. I don't know if he's ready. I don't know if he's ready. I wouldn't mind having him in the system, though. I'll tell you that. Alex Chiasson's another name that's come up. I know he played for the Flames. Yeah, we got rid of him. He's 31 years old. I loved what he brought to the team. And I thought last year when we played Edmonton, that guy was a tough player to play against. I think that's what we're looking for. I wouldn't mind having him on one of the wings, in that third line. We'll see what happens there. But I feel like Daryl Sutter, not that Pelche won't be there at some point this year. I really have a hard time believing that Daryl Sutter is willing to lay his cards down and say, all right, young man, you're going up to the show and we're going to ride you. And I don't even know if that would be healthy for his future, to be honest with you. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out, but that's a very fluid situation and one that I think could change. Now, some pieces that could get moved. I still think that Yusuf Valimaki is going to get moved soon. I know people have said, well, maybe Shillington gets moved now. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we deviate from the Hanifin, Anderson, Uyghur, Tanev. Actually, here's how I would have it on the back end. Hanifin, Anderson, I would put Shillington and Tanev together, and I would have Uyghur and Zadorov together. And a lot of people say, well, geez, you don't have Uyghur in your top four. Well, I don't really look at it as a top four. I think we get into core six. Instead of having players playing 20-plus minutes, how about we have, you know, 24 minutes? How about we have three pairings that play 20 minutes? Does that sound good? Or 18 minutes? That sounds good to me, right? Deep defenses can do that. And I think if you look at our defense up and down, we're top three in the National Hockey League. So that being said, I just said that we had the top three defense in the league, in the top three. I just claimed that we had the top five center depth. Wings, I think we're a piece away. And goaltending, I think we're top five in the National Hockey League. On paper, this is a strong team. This is a team that could really go somewhere this year. So are the Flames better this year than last year? Well, in is Huberto, Kadri, Rooney, Uyghur. Out, Gaudreau, Monahan, Tkachuk, Gabranson. I think it's an upgrade, Uyghur over Gabranson. I think Rooney gives us better depth than Sean Monahan because of injuries. I think Nazem Kadri can bring more than Matthew Tkachuk. I know a lot of people argue with me on that. And I think Jonathan Huberdeau is just a bigger version of Johnny Gaudreau. Does Johnny Gaudreau probably a little more dynamic? Yeah. But I think all in all, that's better. You trade points from last year. Gaudreau at 115, Tkachuk at 104, Monahan at 23 for a total of 242. Huberdeau at 115, Kadri at 87, and Uyghur at 44. That's 246. That's more points. Man, you know, another thing I was thinking today when I was looking at this is I'm looking at this roster. 2 years ago, let's look who was on this team. Lindholm was, Huberdeau wasn't, Toffoli wasn't, Coleman wasn't, Kadri wasn't, Mangiapane was, Peltier wasn't, Backlund was, Dylan Dubé was, Lucic was, Rooney wasn't, and Lewis wasn't. So five of the 12 forwards were on the team. On defense, Hanifin was, Anderson was, Uyghur wasn't, Tanev wasn't, Zadorov wasn't, and Shillington was a non-factor. So only two of the top six were on the team. And both the goalies, not on the team. Would you call this a rebuild? Or a rebuild on the massive turbo fly? I love what Brad Treliving's done. I think he's got every general manager in the National Hockey League shaking his head right now going, I can't believe this guy was able to pull this off. It's crazy. We're one forward away, you guys, from a pretty solid, solid hockey team. And I don't know that there isn't enough guys available still that someone could adequately fill that spot. And maybe in time, and maybe this year, Jacob Peltier moves into that slot. I'd love to see that. But we're deep enough and we're strong enough to not have to rush him, right? I don't think that's healthy. I like this roster we have in Calgary this year. All right, Flames fans, time to cruise through some Flames news, and let's talk a little bit more about Jonathan Huberdeau, as the Calgary Flames forward has pledged to donate his brain to science after he dies. Huberdeau's pledge follows that of Devils defenseman Ben Lovejoy, who in 2017 became the first active member to make that commitment. What does this mean now? Nothing, but if we're really going to truly learn and work as much as we can to make sure that our sport is safe, players need to do this. It's a huge sacrifice. I mean, I respect the hell out of him for doing it. I think it shows the character of the Jonathan Huberdeau that Calgary is, I believe, going to grow and love this year. Straight up guy that was doing a good thing for, you know, the society and sports and the safety of our children and our grandchildren and our great grandchildren. So a great move by the Flames forward. We talked about it last show. When will the Flames be announcing their American Hockey League affiliate? Well, it happened. And it was wrong again on my part because I thought they'd be the Calgary Heat. They're not. They're the Calgary Wranglers. A W logo with flame in the middle. I don't know how I like the logo. And I don't know how I like it with the jerseys. But it'll probably grow on me. I like the name. I do like the name as it fits Calgary. And, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm going to watch a lot of games this year. And I think it'll be easier for us to follow with a team in Calgary, and we'll be able to know a little bit more about our prospects. Cause I'll tell you, that's one weakness I have is, I don't follow our prospects as closely as I should. And, I think this will definitely help. Now the Wranglers did add some veterans as they signed five players to AHL contracts, Daniel Chekalev, Simon Levan, Rhett Reinhardt, Brett Sutter, Daryl's son, and Mitchell McLean all sign to add some veteran depth to the AHL affiliate. The Flames are looking for an ECHL affiliate. There is three teams that do not have any affiliation. The Rapid City Rush, which I believe was at one point a Flames affiliate, they do not have an affiliation with an NHL team right now. The Wichita Thunder do not, and the Greenville Swamp Rats do not. There's 24 NHL teams that have ECHL affiliates, and that would leave, what, six that don't? Calgary being one of those. We'll see where that goes. I don't know that that'll get named this year. Josh Brook has signed a PTO with the Calgary Flames, and the 1999 birth year, second round draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens in 2017, 56th overall, will give try his luck during training camp, and see where he lands. He's a right shot blue liner, spent four seasons in the Western Hockey League with the Moose Jaw Warriors, and also representing Canada in the World Under 17s, Under 18s, and World Juniors. A highly touted prospect. We'll get a chance in Calgary to make the big club, or if not, maybe fall onto an American Hockey League roster. Question. The poll this week. I didn't do a poll this week. I did a question. I didn't even really do a question. I kind of cheated you guys. I kind of made my own question. I've watched this summer, and quite honestly, almost all of last year too, this fan base go absolutely bonkers that we'd ever named a captain. And how important this is, and na 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 na. And the question is, do the Calgary Flames need to have a captain for the 2022-23 season? I say no. And I don't understand why this is such a huge, like, controversial thing with our fan base. Like, I don't get it. Like, does having a captain last year, like someone named, really do anything? And gosh, you know, there's nothing worse than naming a captain and then not having to be the right one because you rush to it. Is having a captain that critical? Send me messages on Facebook. Not Facebook, but Twitter. It's easier. At Flame Unfiltered or at Brad Brood. Is it that critical? I think it's best. My plan would be to watch this year and see how it develops. I think you have some front runners. I think you have Backlund and Lindholm as your front runners. And you know what? We'll wait and see how Huberto fits into this team. Maybe a Mackenzie Weegar. Maybe a Chris Tanev. I think you need to see how this team gels together. Because one of the things we're forgetting compared to last year is that last year as we went into the season, hopes weren't as high, but the players had some time to play under Sutter. They knew kind of what they were going into next year. And they knew, had some comfort and some chemistry amongst the group of players. This year, our roster is quite a bit different. There's some returners, yes, but there's quite a bit of change. And I think that's good. But I think it's going to take some time for that to gel, right? That just doesn't happen overnight. So I'd like to see how it kind of comes together. And then kind of who, you know, runs to the top as far as your leadership group. Probably think I got a beat on who it's going to be, but I don't think you need to rush this year to name it right away. I'm fine if they do it midway through the season or something when they be able to determine it. But man, I don't think it's good to just rush and just name a captain just to name a captain and make it feel good. We'll see what happens there. That's going to be an interesting situation.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, getting to the end of the show here as we let's talk a little bit about what lies ahead here. And this is usually our game preview part of the show. And let's talk Young Stars Classic, as that prospect tournament, which the Flames have not been a part of, I believe, for 5 years. COVID, some other things. It's back, and it's in Penticton, BC, and it'll take place from September 19th or 16th to the 19th, and I couldn't be more excited. The Flames will be joined by the Vancouver Canucks, which will host it, as well as the Winnipeg Jets and Edmonton Oilers in a round-robin tournament format for their top prospect players, and this is where we really get to see this, and I did do some checking today. All of the games, if you can't get there, which you should. It will be fun to watch. All of the games are going to be on Flames TV and streamed on the Flames Facebook page, Flames Twitter, and, of course, CalgaryFlames.com and at Flames TV. And on YouTube, they'll be live. And so we'll be able to watch. And the schedule is as follows. On Friday, September 16th at 5 Mountain Time, the Flames will take on the Winnipeg Jets. Saturday, the 17th at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time, the Flames will take on the Edmonton Oilers. And on Monday, September 19th at 3:30 Mountain Time, the Flames will take on the Vancouver Canucks. And it's going to be good. It's going to be a lot of good Flames prospects. Entry-level type prospects in the system, and it should be a lot of fun watching to see how these players progress and lead themselves into preseason, which the preseason games, there is, what do we got, 8 of them this year. And let's take a look at who we play this year. On the 25th split squad, so that's September 25th, about exactly a month from the day this podcast releases, the Flames will do a split squad with the Vancouver Canucks. So two games, one in Calgary, one in Vancouver. And then on the 27th, they'll be in Seattle. 28th, at home to Edmonton. The 30th in Edmonton. The 3rd of October at home to Seattle. And then the 5th of October in Winnipeg, and the 7th of October against Winnipeg at home. And that'll wrap up that preseason. Now, this episode actually wraps season 3 of Flames Unfiltered. And I couldn't be more happy to do this show. I like doing it. I hope you listeners have enjoyed the 3 years. And I hope you go on to Twitter and follow us at Flame Unfiltered, and check us out at flamesunfiltered.com. But we're going to be taking a short break here. We're going to be back on September 22nd. That will be the first episode of Season 4. And Season 4 is going to be huge for Flames Unfiltered. We're very, very happy to announce that we'll be making some big changes this season. The show will look a little different. I think you'll all think it's a little bit improved. It's going to have a much different look, a much different feel. And all these changes will be announced with a big, huge Flames Unfiltered announcement on September 7th. Now, you'll be able to get that announcement on the webpage, flamesunfiltered.com, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. September 7th, giant announcement on how Season 4 will look at Flames Unfiltered. We're super excited. I'm super excited. And next season should be very interesting for the Flames, and will also be very interesting on Flames Unfiltered. Check out the audio format of this podcast on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and numerous, you know what, damn near every other podcast player. We're on them. Check out the video version of the podcast on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group, and under the playlist Flames Unfiltered. Make sure you check out all the Flames Unfiltered shorts too. We do those. Those are good. Short 7 to 10 minute snippets on breaking news in Calgary. And better yet, you know what? You can check out everything you want to know about the show at flamesunfiltered.com. Thank you so much for supporting the show in the third season. Thank you so much for everything that the fans have messaged me about, everything. I have a blast doing this, and I am over the top excited for what season 4 brings as we launch that September 22nd. And check out that big announcement on September 7th. Flames fans, enjoy the rest of the offseason. It's going to be a little calmer now. It's been a wild ride, a lot of fun, and one that's leaving all of us smiling. Have a great rest of your summer. We'll see you soon. It's almost hockey time in Calgary. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again, and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered.
Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.